tip.
When your 17-year-old daughter walks down the stairs to meet her date in a tube top and the tiniest pair of shorts.
Dad life.
And that time that you tore your ACL not by playing golf, but watching golf.
Dad life.
When you see the Viagra commercial and truthfully ask yourself, am I healthy enough to have sex?
Dad life.
Not to mention your only solid bowel movements come on Christmas Eve and President's Day.
Dad life.
Yeah.
Well, it is time for Dad Life. And if it's time for Dad Life, that means that it's time for Bob.
Corby, periodic get-together, or those of us who have fathered children can compare notes, maybe crowdsource, and just learn how to better find those life hacks and solutions to the issues of dad life. And today I've got a couple things for you. Now, this can be interactive as we go, but for now, I'll just tell you to feel free to send an email if you want, and certainly those who are on the show who are qualified for this sort of thing, you guys can chime in as well. But I was thinking of one over Christmas that I've been doing for years. It falls under the category of things that are probably kind of sorry, but you do it anyway as dad because no one has really caught on to what you're doing. And the example I would use is the following. I have a family of five, and when we have the opportunity to take a flight,
mm-hmm.
I'm often tasked with buying the tickets as the breadwinner.
Often.
Always.
Thank you.
Then find assigned seats for everyone. And this used to be a really big deal because you might have a baby. You might have, you know, it's a real coordinated effort to best travel without affecting the entire airplane. And therefore, it's not just mom. It might be mom and dad figuring out, okay, you might have to hold the baby if she's upset or whatever. Okay, hand it back to me. And, you know, oh, where's the diaper bag and all. But you know what? That was a season of life that is thankfully in the rearview mirror. Now, it appears that flying as a family is all just everyone kind of looking at their little screen. So what if dad didn't sit with the rest of the family? And it kind of started as a hustle.
This is a very Dan McDowell play.
Yeah, I've definitely learned it from him even subconsciously as he did things like this. Now, I've never quite figured out a way to get my own rental car.
Now, wait a minute.
On vacation.
Wait a minute. I don't know where you're going with this, but I would rather sit next to my kid instead of, because all they're going to be doing is watching whatever,
mm-hmm.
than sit next to sweaty Jim from Weatherford, who I don't know and may take up a seat and a half and all that. You know what I'm saying?
I do. However, there are these things called exit rows that dad kind of likes, but also the $25 bump charge. I'm not going times five.
No.
So let's find a spot for those four. And then as we're getting on the plane, everyone thinks, oh, we're all sitting together and we're all okay. We're boarding. Why is dad walking last?
Strategically, they're walking in front of you.
As they work to 27A through D, dad peels off at 11A and he's got all this extra room. And
okay. I applaud that.
Do you get in trouble for that?
My wife has mentioned it now to me that she sees what I'm doing. And
you tell her it's an accident?
And she actually requested to join me one time. But for the most part, I do get the eyeball. And also when we're booking, occasionally she'll double check to make sure that I'm actually with the group. But I don't feel like there's a lot of harm here. And I used to hear, I think this was one of Jake's things, the, hey, I'll pick up food on the way home, but it you would pick up food after having a couple adult beverages at the place for about 30 minutes as you were, quote, waiting for the food to be ready. And I feel like that's such a normal one for dads.
It is.
That's so old school.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do. I've never really done it.
I love, and Mi Casina is, it's right by our house, and if I ever go pick up food there, and she knows it.
Yeah.
I wheel in.
You're smelling like booze.
And I'll have one Mambo Taxi and maybe a nice conversation with the barkeep for like 11 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I go back.
And the nachos are ready.
Yeah. And it's all good. And yeah. She's like, how many did you have? Just one. We don't
go
anymore.
Have you ever said three?
No, because that would mean I'm there for like an hour. And it's not like you're taking shots. You're just casually having a knocking one back.
Mm-hmm. You got an Uber home with your carry-on.
Right, yeah, yeah. I get a ride from the...
I left the car there.
Yeah. That's weird.
All right. The other one today is interesting because Corby brought it up when I showed up yesterday, which is... The question, you know, it's funny. We have boys in the same age group pretty much, and there is a time where something in sports will happen, and we kind of know how we handle things, but now it's, hey, is your boy okay? And I'm like, what? I mean, Packer game. Is he okay? Is he getting through it? And, you know, it's a weird deal because... First of all, no, he's not doing great. He even mentioned to it again today that he walked through because he's doing school at home. So he emerged from his little den of...
His cocoon.
His little den of school, which looks like the biggest hustle of all time, if you
oh,
ask
it
me.
Is.
And he's like, stinking Tom Brady. I mean, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
And he's still got Tom Brady in his dreams.
God, I remember when I used to care.
Is this the first... Were moment where he's really been affected, or did last year get
no,
him?
No. In fact, if I were to offer a backstory, I would say that, first of all, having a son, for most of us, having a son is pretty cool because you think you can program him to like all the teams you like, and you're going to have these road trips where you go get to watch your team play, and you'll just be there with your son. And for the most part, I've done that. I really enjoy the relationship that we have that is somewhat sportsy. Both my sons, but one is kind of Packers and one is more the soccer stuff. But it's fun. You share it, and that's kind of the idea. But here's the thing: why would we pass on to our kids the misery of being a sports fan? And I mention this because when Brett was 10. Was the 2014 playoffs that everyone here can't stop talking about. It's the Dez catch game, but he clearly was on the right side of that one, and it was very confusing that, you know, at 10, that all his friends at school thought the Cowboys got cheated, and, you know, everyone, but he's kind of happy that they beat the Cowboys, and he could say something at school about his team that they're always teasing him about. Well, this time, the next week, they went to Seattle, and for about 2 hours and 45 minutes, he was going to the Super Bowl. Like, they're going.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I can't believe that this team, you know, because he wasn't really conscious for the 2010 Super Bowl. But 2014, this is him, man. This is his moment. And then it all crushed at the same time. And he was a mess, man. And I remember experiencing it. As a dad, like, I didn't have any time for me to be miserable.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I'm trying to usher him through it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that this happens all the time. All he knew was good times.
Yep.
And so it's a weird deal because certainly this generation doesn't digest sports the way we do. In fact, they can easily just walk away if the game is boring to them.
Right.
And I never saw that as an option.
Nope.
But I do wonder about explaining to them about team loyalty and what that actually means is misery. Like have they evolved to a point where they actually figured out a better way to be sports fans?
I think so. Because for me, and I know you're the exact same way, there are teams, and you can figure them out, where it hurts. It crushes me. Does it do it for a long time? No. But...
No, and it changes with age, but
yeah.
But on Sunday,
You lose sleep.
I really wanted it for Aaron Rodgers. Like, I wanted it for, like, I felt he's given me so much, so many years of fun. I really wanted this for him.
Yeah.
So I felt really bad. Yeah. And then my son, I just looked next to him and he's crushed.
Yeah.
And it's,
there's no way to console them. But I think you're right because, you know, I told you guys this story or from a couple of years ago. It was the 2016 NBA Finals and Golden State lost, and I couldn't find my kid where he was.
Right.
And he had walked outside to cry. He went outside.
Oh, he knows about the sports walk.
And I found him on the front porch, and I'm like, oh, bud, it's okay. You know, he was like, what was that, 8 maybe? Mm-hmm.
That's about that age, is 3rd grade, man.
Yeah, and I remember crying when multiple times in for sports reasons.
Oh, yeah.
OU was losing. Not the game wasn't even over. They were losing to Nebraska, and I was crying, and my dad told me to get out of the house.
Yeah,
good,
like,
man.
Dude, I was like 5.
That's funny, because my dad turned on me when I cried about the Bucks one time.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't need to cry about a basketball game. You don't understand, old man.
Yeah, yeah. I cried over that. I cried over Super Bowl 13. That was sports tears.
Yeah.
I was old enough in the catch to fight it back and not cry. But he has cried, I know for a fact, over the Golden State game. He cried over the OU-Georgia Rose Bowl that was an incredible game, but it ended in double overtime and all that. I know he has cried at a Roger Federer major. I know for a fact he has cried at that. But I also know that he's not as invested as I was growing up, where I could let loose at any... I loved all of them. All of them.
Right.
And I do think that we often talk about, like, our friends that don't really care about sports and how different that must be.
How weird they are.
On a nightly basis, you're not watching something and being affected by it negatively or positively? How is that?
I feel like that during this current Mavs season.
Well, I know. We're going to get them back to you, bud. We're going to get them back
to
you.
What about the sketches we've been working on?
The storyboards, the Mavs storyboards. But I think that these kids, you know, my youngest one, nothing affects him sports-wise.
Right.
It's over. What are we going to eat?
Yeah.
What's going on? Can we watch a movie tonight? And I'm like, aren't you upset? Nothing. Nothing upsets him. And I do believe that those people are ahead of the curve and that it is better for your life to be that way.
Like, there's enough that sucks in life. You don't need to make yourself depressed about total strangers wearing your laundry.
I respect the fact that he's looking forward and not behind.
He just doesn't care. And I got one that wears his emotions on his sleeve like I will. You know, where it will get to me at 50, it gets to me. Like, I was pissed off last night after the Maverick game. Sitting there going, what the, you know?
It doesn't last long, though, anymore.
No. It doesn't last long.
No, but part of the reason it doesn't last long is you've been hurt so many times that you then cope going into a Super Bowl run or an NBA Finals run. You kind of cope by convincing yourself we have no chance. So then the letdown doesn't hurt as much. But that's not normal. Like, you should be really excited that your team is good and you have a chance. But by your late 40s, you're so negative.
Jaded.
You're so jaded about how many times they've broken your heart that you are protecting your heart by acting like you're not really invested. It's a weird psychology, but it's also one that I don't know that I do want to pass on to my kids.
I'm with you, too. You know, it's like I never bought into that old phrase, it's better to love and have lost than never loved at all. I'd just rather not ever love at all.
It's weird because...
Would you rather not been to that World Series in 2011? Would you have rather gotten beat in the ALCS than to go through what you'll live with, probably for the rest of your life, with no payoff?
No, I'm glad I got to see it. I got to see the Texas Rangers in a World Series.
That was the second one, though. I'm talking
2 years in a row.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I went to 3 games in 11, it was awesome.
Yeah. I guess my overall thing on all this is you don't realize how goofy we are as sports fans until you look down and your son is crying over a game. And as opposed to you being really bummed about it, you're trying to convince him that it's not that bad.
knowing that...
Even though you know that it's horrible.
Yeah, and you
Tom
feel worse
Brady
than
just
him.
Killed us, man.
Yes.
It is horrible.
Right. You feel worse than him, but you're too old to cry.
And yeah, and
so
you're
it's like, God,
you're trying to teach him not to be the moron you are.
Yeah.
Which I guess is fatherhood.
But
anyway.
And I know that 90% of kids, I think, are this way, as opposed to what we were growing up. During whatever game, let's say you're really into baseball or you're really into football, whatever it is, they have the ability to come in from outside or the basement or their cocoon to look up and be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
We're losing 21-14. All right, I'm out.
I'm going to go have a sandwich.
And they don't finish that.
Yeah.
And that's different.
It's the video game thing where they just like, oh, lost.
Yeah.
Reset. Let's start another one.
Yes.
You can't, man. You got to go all the way back to dumb training camp and hope your QB1 doesn't retire or demand a trade.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, that's dad life, but yeah.
Dad life.
Yes!
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.